Shalom,
אנחנו נקרא. Hello, we're going to read selected excerpt about the greatness of the Creator. You can ask questions at cab.tv. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Selected excerpt about the greatness of the Creator.
The greatness of the Creator. We really have nothing more. We are the created beings, and besides the Creator, there's nothing more in reality. So the whole problem of the created beings is how to discover the Creator. And discovering the Creator is possible only from a deficiency for Him. That's how we come to feel anything, only from a deficiency. And we don't have a deficiency to feel the Creator in the first place. We're under concealment. So there's a problem, a very big problem here, that we have to work against the concealment of the Creator, wanting something we don't want, yearning for something we don't yearn for. Because if we had the yearning, if we had the desire for Him, then we would already work accordingly. So the work is hidden because the Creator is hidden. That is, His importance is hidden from us. That He is important to us. That's what we don't discover. Why? Because there's a problem here. Discovering the importance of the Creator to the created beings is very simple. If He opens Himself up a little bit, then the created being will understand that He depends on the Creator 100%. And then, obviously, all the created beings will run back to Him and be devoted to Him, because there's nothing more in their life besides connecting to their source of life. But the issue is that the Creator wants the created beings to be devoted to Him, not because they depend on Him, but to be devoted to Him out of their consciousness and awareness of His greatness and uniqueness, meaning that they won't be devoted to Him as He is the source of their life, but devoted to His quality of loving and giving. And therefore, they want Him. Meaning, there's a certain specific condition here that has to do with the revelation of the Creator, that He is revealed only on the condition that the created being discovers Him, not by being dependent on Him, but being in appreciation of His importance and uniqueness. Such a thing that actually doesn't belong to the created being. The created being does not need it. But he begins to appreciate it as the most important thing there is, so that he works devotedly, as it's called, meaning doesn't care about its own life, its own existence, all that depends on the Creator. He doesn't care about that. He's willing to let that go. What he cares about is actually acquiring from the Creator His own quality of the giver, the bestower, the lover. And he knows that not from his own personal gain. Rather, he begins to appreciate that the Creator is so great and so unique that when you rise in this inclination of bestowing to others a creator towards the created being and vice versa, then you rise above any personal gain. And so we think that the creator sets up different problems for the created beings, great troubles, and the created being needs to rise in its attitude to the creator above all these troubles, so that they show each other that in this relationship between them, there's nothing personal, meaning no one wants to receive anything personal for themselves. No personal gain or some personal comfort of any sense. And all that they receive from each other is an opportunity to prove that each one is above the mind and heart of personal fulfillment and only works for the benefit of the other, the created being towards the creator and the creator towards the created being. In such a way, there is truly, eventually, unconditional love, a love that is not related to any personal calculation. So here I'd like to hear your views. How do we build the relationship with the Creator to be entirely, completely independent of our vessels of reception? Please. Equation as this light continues to shine on him.
Rav, if we have to establish relationship with the Creator despite self-benefit, then what happens is that we get to our spiritual work, let's say to the morning lesson or assembly of friends, Yeshivat Chavarim, and then I discover, for example, when I come to the morning lesson, that I have no desire, no importance. The heart is dead. I don't feel anything in these words of love of friends, importance of the goal, importance of the Creator. I have nothing. I just came because I had to come. You know, it's not nice. Otherwise, suddenly I feel so dry. I'm tired. Maybe I have many concerns besides this. So here I need, even if I catch myself and I understand that all of these concerns and internal weariness and external concerns, they all come from one place. And that by this, specifically, I get an opportunity to rise, to transcend. But I don't feel within me the powers to transcend. What do you do? Where are the powers? What do you do? So here is the question. How do I, as it is written in the books, first of all, thank the Creator for bringing me to the lesson and giving me also the right feeling at the beginning of the lesson, at the beginning of the connection with the friends, that I don't want this, I don't need this for all kinds of reasons. I have problems, I have all kinds of arrangements that he gave to me, all kinds of problems that are more important to me than this whole thing of connection with a friend. So how do I start to listen? What words do I have in order to thank the Creator for giving me all of these preparations properly? What do I say? That's number one. Number two, let's say I came to the lesson with excitement and elation, the greatness of the Creator, the importance of the friends. What does that mean? Maybe I should check myself here. If this is how I feel, then I have such illumination that it's worthwhile, it's good for me. So that's false. I'm being pulled by all kinds of temptations toward connection with the friends and with the Creator. Perhaps I have to rise above this and not get this feeling that spirituality is good, connection is good, love of friends is good, because I have to approach it in the opposite way, through resistance, by the will to receive, resisting what I have. So how do I establish correctly my relation to what I feel? If I feel bad, meaning without attraction to spirituality and the Creator and the friends, and if I feel I am attracted to the friends and to the Creator, what should be my attitude to this? And perhaps as a result, how would I like to establish my relation to the lesson by myself at the beginning of the lesson? Go ahead. Same direction.
Rav, what form of connection can we determine between us as the right preparation for the morning lesson? As everyone comes with all kinds of physical, emotional troubles, frustrations, importance of something else, and so on. So how do we basically determine the form of connection that is correct for the beginning of the lesson? Go ahead.
Begin it more correctly.
Rav, well, let's continue to the first excerpt from our lesson. Go ahead.
We're going to read excerpt number 15 from the article The Meaning of Truth and Faith by Rabash. We were given the path of faith, which is above reason, namely not to take our sensations and reason into account, but say, as it is written, they have eyes and see not, they have ears and hear not. Rather, we should believe that the Creator is certainly the overseer, and He knows what is good for me and what is not good for me. Therefore, He wants me to feel my state as I do. And for myself, I do not care how I feel myself, because I want to work in order to bestow. Therefore, the main thing is that I need to work for the Creator. And although I feel that there is no wholeness in my work, still, in the kelim, vessels of the Upper One, meaning from the perspective of the Upper One, I am utterly complete. As it is written, the cast out will not be cast out from Him. Hence, I am satisfied with my work, that I have the privilege of serving the King, even at the lowest degree. That, too, I regard as a great privilege that the Creator has allowed me to come closer to Him, at least to some degree.
Again, please.
Again, we were given the path of faith, which is above reason, namely not to take our sensation and reason into account, but say, as it is written, they have eyes and see not, they have ears and hear not. Rather, we should believe that the Creator is certainly the overseer, and He knows.
Here lies the first question. What does it mean, then, to believe that the Creator is the supervisor? There is no power to do anything, no interest, because, let's say, you're powerless, but you still have great yearning. So no yearning also. I'm completely, totally indifferent to the entire spiritual action. So now the question is, what does it mean that the Creator gives me the force of faith with which I advance in the spiritual work? Please.
I wanted to ask, okay, let's continue, sorry. Connect these things together.
Rav, I'm repeating the question. If the Creator gives you the power of faith against my desire, against my thought, against the mind and heart I have, in which I don't want anything, and the Creator gives me the power of faith, how does the power of faith work in me? What is it about? What is it?
All the rejections and the hatred and the labor.
Rav, how do I feel that what I now received as strength, let's call it the power of faith, it doesn't come to me through my mind and heart. I have no interest. I don't feel anything good, anything pleasant. Rather, I've received a truly new force, the upper force, where I can cling to the society, to the idea, to the goal of our development, in a way called above reason, in a way called the force of faith. How can I envision this third force that doesn't come from my mind or heart, and it makes me continue, not because I have an interest. I don't have any interest in my vessels, but above that, the power of faith shines from above that, and in it, I begin to advance to the Creator, to the goal, to connection with the group. How can we picture to ourselves that power of faith that comes and dresses into us?
Right. Rav, with what kelim vessels? With what qualities? In what does the power of faith dress in me so that it gives me the ability to rise above my feeling and my intellect? So, how does it appear in me? Go ahead. Rav, how does it happen that all of a sudden we feel our connection as an additional place, like having something additional between us that we did, built, where there is a reality of feeling and intellect? It's the special connection between us, which is like our common man, which is really called man, Adam, our kli, from the word dome, similar to the Creator. And in it, we begin to feel the power of bestowal, the power of faith, its or his vitality in itself is called the power of faith, the power of bestowal. And it's not something that appears within each of us. How do we discover that something common suddenly exists between us, which is called Adam, which is the power of faith, in which we begin to feel the presence of the Creator, which establishes this force, fills it, guides it. Go ahead. Reality. Love. How do I, when I begin to reveal our new common kli, where I'm totally dead in my mind and heart, I have no interest, no attraction to spirituality, nothing. How do I feel that between us a new kli opens that's common to us and doesn't belong to any of us, but is common and exists only by being between us? How do I draw from this an ability to nurture it, bestow upon it, strengthen it, this common kli, and myself, my own individuality, I don't take into account, and I'm willing to move to this new kli, all of my mind and heart, my efforts, my courage, my power, all into this kli, which doesn't belong to anyone, but is only common to us. If the commonality disappears, the kli will disappear.
That enables you to enter the work.
Rav, how do I lose myself in this new kli? And I'm actually happy that I have more resistance and tastelessness in it, in terms of my mind and heart. And how do I, at the same time, build a new relation here, a collective mind and heart, group mind and heart, and in it I live. And this is how I advance. How can I add to our common kli, which is called the soul, so it is built above my personal mind and heart, so that all the disturbances I have in my mind and heart against the common kli, I rise above them and I'm happy, actually. And what type of disturbances do I have in the common mind and heart, common with the friends, so that toward them, so that above them I should also rise? Go ahead. What's not clear, explain to us.
How do we envision the mind and heart in this new common kli between us? How do we picture the mind and heart in this common kli that is now built between us, called a soul? Rav, what we receive, this new vessel that has a mind and heart, which we call a group or a soul, the actual kli, in which we will then feel later the presence of the Creator. that kli is completely unrelated to our individual minds and hearts that themselves can't connect, that only exists above them, right? Is this new kli, this single common kli between us, unrelated to the hearts and minds of each of the ten? Of all the members of the ten? Our common kli in the present state that we're in.
Continuing to read.
אנחנו ממשיכים לקרוא בקטע מספר 15, קטע מספר 18.
Moving on to exit number 18. שמעתי article number 5. לשמה is an awakening from above, and why do we need an awakening from below? When the thief, meaning the will to receive, does not feel any taste and vitality in the work of accepting the burden of the kingdom of heaven. If a person works with faith above reason and by coercion, the body gets used to this work, meaning against the desire of his will to receive, then a person has the means to be able to come to work, which is with the goal of bringing contentment to his maker.
Here lies the question. What does it mean to be in the work of bestowing despite the resistance of the body? Please read again that part.
When the thief, meaning the will to receive, does not feel vitality in the work of accepting the burden of the kingdom of heaven, if a person works in faith above reason, by coercion, and the body gets used to this work, meaning against the desire of his will to receive.
This means that I resist, I step on my will to receive, which doesn't want, which objects to doing this work, but I step on it, and I work with what's called faith above reason. Yeah? Meaning that there is some additional force here called faith above reason that I have received from above, and I now work with that. Next.
At that time, a person has the means where he can come to work, which is with the goal of bringing contentment to his maker. This is so because the primary requirement from a person is to come to dvikut, adhesion, with the Creator through one's work, which is discerned as equivalence of form, where all of one's deeds are in order to bestow.
This means that I have a will to receive, and it doesn't stop demanding what's good for it. Even rest. It doesn't want anything. Just rest. And I obligate myself to be above my will to receive. With that same force of faith above reason that I've received. And thus I advance, and I always pay attention to that force of faith above reason I've received, and that's where I live. Please read that part again.
This is so because the primary requirement of a person is to come to dvikut, adhesion, with the Creator through one's work, which is discerned as equivalence of form, where all of one's deeds are in order to bestow. It is as the verse says, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord. The meaning of then is that first, in the beginning of one's work, he did not have pleasure. Instead, one's work was coercive. However, afterwards, when one has already accustomed oneself to work in order to bestow and not examine oneself, if he is feeling a good taste in the work, but believes that he is working to bring contentment to his Maker through his work, one should believe that the Creator accepts the labor of the lower ones, regardless of how and how much is the form of their work. In everything, the Creator examines the intention, and that brings contentment to the Creator. Then one is imparted, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord. Even
meaning that there's really an acquisition of new vessels here that don't belong to the old vessels. And this is called faith. And then a person who acquires this clean, he always looks at the new vessels and he makes sure he doesn't use the old vessels. Next.
Even during the work of the Creator, he will feel delight and pleasure, as now one really does work for the Creator, because the effort he made during the coercive work qualifies one to be able to work for the Creator in earnest.
Okay, keep reading.
You find that then too, the pleasure that one receives relates to the Creator, meaning specifically to the Creator. Questions? Go ahead.
Eli, please.
Eli, please.
The question is how not to disconnect when there's a feeling of a mutual desire, a mutual mind. How not to connect? How do you feel it is alive? That's really a question. Because there's another question. I'm not afraid that I'll not know if I'm disconnecting or not. That is imaginary right now. When I start living in this vessel of faith, I feel in that vessel that we're connected together, and in it, I feel that we're connected to the Creator. So, I have no problem in being under self-control on that vessel. I feel whether I'm in it or not. My question is how to increase that vessel. Those are other questions already. So the problem isn't about losing connection to the soul, that new vessel, and not feeling that I've lost the connection. No. The question is how to constantly be in increasing that vessel. Because if I don't invest in it constantly, more forces, so it disappears. It's a very dynamic kli. It's like you're standing on the point on something sharp. You constantly have to keep your balance, otherwise you'll fall. That's that force of faith. It's a vessel that demands the renewing of the force of bestow, of bina. Leo, please. Rabash writes that the exertion he gave while being coerced prepares him to work for the Creator, or is rewarded with faith for that exertion. The question is, what is that exertion exactly, and what opens up as a result of that exertion that he did?
As a result of me receiving every time anew a heavy heart, rejections, and overcoming them with a friend, in connection with them, although the connection is artificial, when I'm constantly working that way, corporeally, then it turns out that I actually am pushing myself towards connection. I'm building myself. I'm fighting. Although I'm doing it on the corporeal level, my mind and heart in the connection with the friends is in order for us to connect like some kind of group. Even though it's good, it's positive, mutually connected and so on, but still it's all corporeal. In return, we get a spiritual vessel, which is entirely not built from our efforts in mind and heart. And that's how we rise above it. That's why our corporeal mind and heart, they stay on the corporeal level, on the degree of the animal, and the efforts that we've made are only a preparation from getting now a vessel of faith. And this vessel of faith is unique. And in it we have the chance to discover ourselves in one kli. It's a completely different feeling. It's a kli of faith. It already belongs to spirituality. In spirituality, no one feels himself as special, as existent, but he feels himself together. It's already this new term. This I is called Adam, and this I is all of us together as one. More?
Netanya, please.
We know that lack of importance is an opportunity to go above reason. And I see that for me and a lot of friends, at times like that, we forget that what we need is the fourth force of faith, and then we run away till we get another awakening. How to not run away and remember that it's an opportunity?
We need to give a portion of exertion, which is our efforts against our egoistic desire, and not that our exertion builds something spiritual. All it builds is a condition that we will receive a spiritual kli, a spiritual vessel. But it's not that the spiritual vessel is built of our corporeal efforts, because our efforts are corporeal. But they're still required, because then we reach the reception of the kli of bina, the kli of the soul. And therefore, we need to exert. But all of this exertion, if we won't get it from above, this new kli, a kli of bestowal, we won't attain it ourselves. We don't build it ourselves, the kli of the soul.
we build it from above in return for our exertion, but in return for our exertion. And it's written about that if the Creator will not build this house, then the nation will return. Meaning, to the extent that we'll exert, we will still stay on the corporeal efforts, on the corporeal level, no matter how much we cry out, that we love each other, that we're connected, all that's nice and good, it's required. But alongside with that, we need to have a clear understanding that it's not that which builds the soul, but in return of that, we develop ourselves to be capable to in something to receive from above the force of bestowal, the force of faith. Maybe you want to move on to another lesson.
Hello.
Hello.
We can go to Tess or the writings of Bala Sulam, or continue these quotes.
You want to continue the quotes? Go ahead, let's continue. If you still have the same level of concentration or even more, then we can continue one more quote.
Quote 19 from Obash's article, Anyone Who Sanctifies the Seventh. When one comes to a degree where he wants to bestow upon the Creator, meaning giving contentment to his Maker, he begins to contemplate what the Creator needs so he can give it to him, since all his concerns are to please the Creator. At that time, he realizes that the only reason he created the world was to receive pleasures from him. And that, more than this, the Creator does not need. Hence, he follows the Creator's will and receives pleasures. At that time, there is no issue of bread of shame, because he is not receiving the pleasures because he wants to enjoy, but because he wants to bestow upon the Creator. For when one achieves the degree of wanting only to bestow to the Creator, the tzimtzum, the restriction, is lifted from him, and he sees the world as full of his glory. Then he sees that this was revealed to him so he would enjoy it. Hence, one has obtained the degree of bestowal, meaning obtained the degree where all he wants is only to bestow contentment upon the Creator. He fills himself with all the pleasures that his eyes see, as in the explanation, the whole earth is full of his glory. It follows that all that one needs to obtain that he can define as a reward after he has toiled several years is only one thing, the desire to bestow, meaning the degree of wanting to serve the Rav not in order to receive reward. All the labor where one needs to exert himself in Torah and Mitzvot, commandments, is only to obtain this. This is called fear of heaven. As it is written, What does the Lord your God ask of you? Only fear me. Question. How do I, in a group, how can I express my willingness to serve the Creator to such an extent that He will advance us to His service, to give Him contentment, to give us this strength, this desire? How do I and each one of the friends that still aren't connected, but only with a tendency to that,
How do we show the Creator that we want to serve Him? Go ahead. Okay, let's move on to Tas. Go ahead.
We'll go to the next part of the lesson in the study of the Ten.